I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome back to the FPL Roundtable, the only fantasy Premier League podcast where we guarantee that you might learn something about fantasy, probably. I'm your host, Kevin DeVries. Joining me, as always, is my good friend and partner in crime, Rob Langevin. Rob, we talked the other week about how bad we felt that we missed all of the shows because we were waiting to see what happened in the Champions League, and then we're like, oh, we'll get to them when they're over, and then we just didn't. So despite having not had much time to prepare, despite not knowing what happens in tomorrow's Champions League matches, we're just going to throw out a show here for you guys, and we're going to obviously touch on blank Game Week 31 and a whole bunch of other stuff. But this is your pre-match warning that this is not as heavily researched as we tend to usually be. But we just figured we come on here, drop some fantasy knowledge, drop the mic, walk off, hope we're not wrong, and then pick up kind of with a normal schedule. I was going to say next week, but aren't there not matches next week? The week after next week.
Because there's like an international Kit Kat break next week.
There is. Now, to get started, I need to go on a bit of a rant. Last week, I presented what I thought was very good evidence for why free hitting in 31 was the right call for my team, since the players that I wanted to have, I would have wildcarded for, I already had in my team. And so free hit in 31, then just keep all the players that I already wanted to keep for 32, it looked like a really good idea. Until...
Can I jump in this and have a good segue? Hey, Kevin, how's your free hit looking in 31?
You know what? It's not great. Well, 31's still fine. 31 isn't the issue. The issue is that now in 32, Harry Kane and Sergio Aguero are both injured. Some saying that Aguero might be back in time. We haven't had Harry Kane taking a scan yet. But if it is a high ankle sprain, it's somewhere between 4 and 8 weeks. And that seems to be people's best guess at the moment. So all of a sudden, you don't get your free hit back. Sorry, you don't get your free transfer after the free hit. So now I'm looking at having to make at least two moves, at least taking a -8, unless I just wild card the week after I use my free hit, which is certainly not gone to plan. So I almost said Mignolet. To Esmir Begovic for falling on Harry Kane's ankle, screw you. To whoever hurt Aguero's ankle or whatever the heck he hurt in training, also screw you. You guys are ruining everything.
And if for those of you at home who aren't aware, that's Kevin DeVries, fantasy expert around multiple universes of fantasy soccer. That's Kevin DeVries. Follow him at Kevin DeVries on Twitter for all his genius.
do go follow at Kevin DeVries. He only has 6 followers and he won't give me the freaking handle. But he might have a better idea than me at this point. Today's news, Manchester United knocked out of the Champions League. Right afterwards, I tweeted basically that now some of their players might be more interesting now that they aren't rotating, but they might be less interesting because they were crap. What's your initial takeaway on the fantasy side from United losing today?
Fantasy side, they should be ashamed of themselves. In a long-term picture, you know, let's bring up United's schedule for the rest of the year. You know, they are going to – they don't double in 1 week, do they?
Oh, they should because they're FAing this
weekend.
Yes,
they do. Yes, they do. They're going to have a double week somewhere. So it'll be in 34 or 37 depending on their advancement into the FA Cup. For the remainder of the year, they have Swansea. They have the Manchester Derby. They have last place Baggies, Bournemouth, Arsenal, Brighton, Watford, and then the makeup game with West Ham. listen, how much are you going to invest in a United squad that averages less than 1.5 goals a year on the game on the year? I mean, yes, there are players there that have intrinsic fantasy value. You know, Jesse Lingard popped his head up and said hello for a while, and then now he disappeared. Paul Pogba is completely looks like a different player. Looks like a shattered man now that Mourinho has put him on the bench and he's busy on the bench counting his dollars. Lukaku is good occasionally. United's defense shaky when Phil Jones isn't in, you know, ugly face. But yes, their schedule is conducive for you to attack at certain points. You know, there's West Brom, Bournemouth for those two games. And at the end of the year, they finish with Brighton, Watford, and then wherever the West Ham makeup fixture comes. United is a team that people are probably going to invest maybe one, maybe two players if they're feeling risky. And, you know, the whole, I want to slap $12 on the table and say, hey, how you doing? My name's a Chilean named Alexis Sanchez. What has Alexis Sanchez done for anybody fantasy-wise that they're actually going to – I'll answer for Kevin.
Is it right literally now. Nothing?
Look, this is going to be Kevin's answer to my question. Literally nothing, because that's how Kevin's voice sounds.
Uh-huh.
But no, literally he is a complete waste on investment. And United,
is it a goal and an assist since going to United?
Yeah. How many games is that? Five?
Six. Yeah.
Six. I mean, that's not good. I mean –
Eight goals, I mean, six assists on the season.
Yeah, I mean, it's not good. It's not good for United right now. They basically got shat on by Wissam Ben Yedder, the new Irish striker. If I have to explain that joke to anybody, hit me up on Twitter, FPO, MNOP. I will gladly give a didactic reaction to why you don't understand this and why you shouldn't be listening to this podcast and not understand me and Kevin's humor. But... You know, it'll be interesting to see how United comes out of this break where they aren't partaking in part of the Ocho Stinko, is what I'm calling it, for week 31, and see how they manage against Swansea at home. Listen, people are going to jump on them because they are United. There's a lot of United fans that play this game. Not as many as Liverpool. Liverpool just completely outnumber everyone who play this game because anytime that anybody does bad in for Liverpool, it's somebody else's fault. It's probably Jamie Carragher's fault. But, you know, he'll probably spit on you, maybe. But, it'll be interesting to see how they come out of this. What lineup Jose puts on the pitch on March 31st against Swansea. That's going to be the telling fact. I mean, we don't know preemptively how we're going to stack up our FPL team before then. So we're kind of guessing in the wind, I guess. and... If anybody cares to wonder, yes, I have been drinking.
You sure have. And you mentioned you were at a bar full of Manchester United fans. I can't imagine that ended well.
Oh.
So we're heading into blank game week 31. You mentioned the Ocho Stinko joke. Obviously,
you like that. Ocho Stinko.
For those that don't know, there was a player in the U.S. that briefly called himself Ocho Stinko for 8-5, even though he wore 85, and that's 85, but that's a whole different thing. But anyway, obviously that's Bournemouth, West Brom, Huddersfield, Crystal Palace, Stoke, Everton, Liverpool, and Watford. So what we're going to do now is run through real quickly and discuss. And
sounds like a good word. I like that made discuss. Up word.
Yeah. And then we'll discuss the a few of the best fantasy options. Maybe three. We haven't decided, and we don't have that many notes. So... we'll just jump into it with Bournemouth. For me, I think Stanislas is top of the heap. Then probably Charlie Daniels. And then one of Wilson or King, just depending on who you think is going to start. Who you think, Rob?
I think Junior Stanislas is one of the guys that you should hone in on because of his propensity to take set pieces and possibly to take a PK. Bournemouth are at home to the worst team in the Premier. So... West Brom is just giving up loads and loads of fantasy goodies. I believe that over the last four games to midfielders and forwards, they have given up the second most fantasy points behind Stoke to midfielders and forwards. So keep that in mind. Everybody loves to hate Callum Wilson. But when you look at the strikers that are available for this, I mean, there's only like five that you're really going to want to own. It's probably, you know, after Firmino, it's, you know, Meunier, you have Callum Wilson, you have Benteke, I'm steering away from the Everton bunch. There's nobody really on Stoke that you want to, unless you feel like you're Peter Crouch's cousin all of a sudden. Troy Deeney, Salomon Rondon are basically the top five there. So, I mean, if you're feeling Ducky, jump and go for Callum Wilson. But look at what he's done to everybody on his transfer rates and bring him in after he's done something well. He really hasn't done anything endearing to anybody's FPL heart. And he's probably going to break your heart again because that's what Callum Wilson does. He likes to be like an Adele song. That's the perfect analogy for Callum Wilson. He's an Adele song after you break up with your girlfriend. He is just the epitome of sadness, and he sucks out loud, and he should not be a cherry.
Hello.
Yeah, exactly. but defensively, I think you can't go wrong with a Bournemouth defender. You mentioned Charlie Daniels. Nathan Ake is the most transferred in currently of a Bournemouth defender. I think you, like I said, you can't go wrong with a defender from Bournemouth right now. Ake's being transferred 27,000. Daniels the second most. Adam Smith is an interesting one because he is playing more of an upstart role there. He's playing more of a wing role there.
Mm.
And against West Brom, he could do something. But you know what? The one thing in everyone's favor this week is they're really not going to have money as a problem. They're going to have a lot of options to bring in because most of the seven out of these teams are basically bargain options. You know, Bournemouth doesn't have a player above, you know, 8 million. So, I mean, if you're transferring out guys who don't blank, you know, the stars and the elite of the elite, you know, the De Bruyne is, the Aguero's, the Canes, guys they blank this week that make, you know, anywhere in excess of $9 million, you're going to have a lot of money to spend around because there's nobody around on this slate that you can really, really like fall in love with or take to prom and be like, oh, I love you forever and you're going to be on my FPL team for past, you know, 3 weeks. It's not going to happen. You know, the schedules after this week for a lot of the bad teams are not good either. So, I mean, you're not really investing in these guys besides for game week 31. And, you know, like Kevin said, there are 8 teams playing in this week, and 8 is the magic number to get to. If you're not using a chip this week, 8 is the number you need for starters. I don't care how many, if you have a goalie, 2 defenders, you know, 3 midfielders and 3 forwards. I don't care. It doesn't matter. Get to 8. 8 is the magic number because it allows you to hide players on your bench. I would probably hide 3 non-players that are not injured on your bench that are probably your most expensive players. I'm not counting Kane, Aguero, because they're hurt. But guys like, you know, De Bruyne or somebody else you're gambling on that has a blank from Chelsea or, you know, even United. The bench is where you're going to bury them, and start 8 players. Get to 8 players, and after that, you're golden. If you want to use a free hit like Kevin advised you a couple weeks ago stupidly to do, then do
it. Wasn't stupid. Things just made it stupid.
Kevin, nothing is ever stupid in hindsight. Just in post-sight, you're a dummy.
Wait, nothing in foresight. And hindsight, it does look stupid.
Did you just call me – did you say foreskin?
Nope, sure didn't. all right, on to West Brom. Their 3 best players for me are Rondon. The end. So, you know, every week I do my top 5s in goal, shots on target, shot accuracy, assists, chances created, accurate crosses, and touches in the box. That's typically how I start my week, is I do all those stats and I see whose names pop up in multiple categories. The only 2 players that show up in the top 5, and I adjusted this week for eligible players. So of only these 8 teams, the only 2 West Brom players that show up are Rondon. He only shows up in goals and shots on target. And the only other player to show up is Matty Phillips, who is tied for 5th in accurate crosses. Mm-hmm. That's it. Other than that, it's just Rondon who shows up in goals, shots on target. Oh, and he's 5th in touches in the box. So that's it. So Rondon is my 1A, and then nobody else exists in this top 3 for me.
Yeah, the thing with West Brom that it is interesting to me is that when are they going to start realizing that they're not going anywhere besides the basement and start playing their young youth? I think we saw a little bit of it last week with Oliver Burke getting a little bit of a run. He got an assist last week, ended on 5 points for the week. That's the realization. I know it correlates to better to American sports, you know, when teams try to punt and they start to play their younger talent to develop them in the top flight competition. For me, Oliver Burke is that guy for West Brom. I think that, you know, he was a very hyped prospect coming up for the youth system. I think that now is the time that he may get more run for them. Listen, Bournemouth are not the defensive, you know, damn system that people think they are. They're not going to hold anything back. They've given up 13 goals in their last 5 games. So I'm not, but I'm not saying that West Brom is the offensive juggernaut that we, you know, pretend that they are. But Kevin's call of Rondon is spot on. If you're going to gamble on somebody on West Brom, you know, Oliver Burke is completely my guy. I don't expect this game to be clean by any, you know, fact of the imagination, because both teams are just awful and putrid defensively, and I wouldn't invest in defense there. You know, so I would look for something obtuse, but not too obtuse where they may not start. Rondon is probably your best bet for West Brom. I'm giving a small tout for the Oliver Burke fan club for West Brom, so do that.
Yeah, and what we're just mentioning, the weird ones. You know, like every 10 weeks there's a big Craig Dawson game? Maybe. But that is entirely speculation.
He's got to get uncovered on a cross where the guy falls or his mom's waving to him in the crowd, and then he scores.
Yeah. So not very likely there for me. Next up is Huddersfield. I think Mounier is the best of this bunch. His goal scoring stats have been pretty solid of late. I think, was it 3 and 4? Like I said, didn't research this, but that's just what leaps to mind in my dumb brain noggin. So I like Mounier. I like Zonka just because of how good he is defensively, but I realize he doesn't have much fantasy potential. So I have a new kind of defensive man crush at the moment, and I can't even say his name, but he kept popping up in stats this week.
Hatter Gonash.
Uh-huh. Hatter them Gognages. He's top five again. This week it's out of the eligible players. Top five in chances created, and he leads all of the eligible players in accurate crosses, which is really interesting, especially for a defender priced at just 4.5, although I realize especially the free hit people aren't trying to save money. You're trying to spend money. Because I think right now I have 13 in the bank on my free hit team. Got to find somewhere to spend that now that Sigurdsson's hurt and I check out Benteke as well, which we'll get to in a little bit.
Go to the casino.
But yeah, so Hatter Gunnar, I think, is all of a sudden a really interesting option. I'm not sure they're able to keep out Crystal Palace is the only reason I'm pausing a little bit. But if you're like in a draft league particularly, and you get points for those crosses and chances created, maybe in DFS as well, I think he's a very, very interesting option. And I think I already said Pritchard, but those are my three.
Yeah, for Huddersfield, for me, it's Mounier, it's Rajiv Van La Parra, and Alex Pritchard. I don't think Palace keeps out Huddersfield, but Huddersfield is not going to score, you know, a ton of goals here. I wouldn't invest defensively because I think Crystal Palace gets on the board. We'll talk about Crystal Palace later because I think offensively, I think Crystal Palace's options are basically offensive and that's it. But there's three midfield options for Huddersfield that I like. Van La Parra, Pritchard, and Moy in that order. I think that you could probably get a little meat off the bone there. That they're not expensive. You're not expecting much, but they probably won't be owned as well. Mounier is probably the best looking guy of the ball there, which is probably bad because it's an ugly ass ball. Yeah, I mean, I like the midfield trio that I said. Like I said, it's VLP, Pritchard, Moy in that order for me. Palace is not – I don't think they're going to keep them clean. Palace is just putrid. I think they have one clean sheet in their last 16 or two in their last 16. And they're on the road, which is even worse for them. This week is just a drawn-down dumbification of FPL. It's like Liverpool and seven ugly stepsisters is exactly what it is.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
And the slipper certainly fits Liverpool more than these other guys. But that's not going to keep us from talking to you because you know the Liverpool guys. Next up is Crystal Palace. I'm going to start off with a blaring warning because last week we talked about Christian Benteke and how much we liked his creative potential. But this week, whispers around Palace that Benteke will not actually start this weekend. And if you're doing a free hit, or if you only have a limited amount of transfers that you're willing to take, you don't want to take too many minuses, this is your warning now that Benteke may not start at the weekend. It could be Sorloth up front, or it could be Zaha up front to still facilitate Schlupp and Townsend, who have actually weirdly been in pretty decent form of late. So this is your warning there. If you have already brought in Benteke, I don't think you can move him again. You just got to hope that those reports are wrong, or if there's some problem with one of the other guys leading up into the match. But currently, I have taken him out of my free hit team out of concerns of that, and so I figure it's only right to tell you guys that as well. Now, the people that I do like, for me, Zaha has to be top of the list. I'm going to get more in-depth on him in an article that I'm going to write for Goal this week, but just a few touch-on stats. First of all, he's eighth in touches in the box on the season, despite playing in just 21 matches. That's at least three less than everybody that has more than him this season. Crystal Palace have lost every match that Wilfried Zaha has not played, and they score about three times as many goals as when Zaha plays as when he does not. 1.14 goals per game versus 0.33 without. They are heinously, heinously better when Wilfried Zaha is playing. And I'm not really worried about the Huddersfield defense. Like I said, even when I was on the Hattergrenage, I wasn't sure they were going to keep a clean sheet. I do think Palace score, and if they do, it's very likely that Wilfried Zaha will be involved. Other guys I like, I'm a little concerned about Schlupp, because if Zaha starts on the left wing, that takes Schlupp's spot. Schlupp all of a sudden has become really interesting because he's OOP. He's listed as a defender, but he's been playing on the left wing. If he's not there, then the guy you got to go for is Van Aanholt. Two goals in the last three. There you go. We all know what he's capable of doing goal scoring wise. I think it was 2 or 3 years back he had the most or second most goals from any defender. We know he can do that. We've seen the finishes that he's had this year. That near post one against De Gea was just brilliant. Yeah. We know what he has in his locker. Huddersfield, I'm less worried about scoring. While I do like Meunier, Huddersfield have failed to score in the most matches this season, 15 out of 29 now. 15 out of 30, right? So anyway, I think Van Aanholt is definitely an interesting option as well. I think I just listed 2.5, but I'm just going to move on.
Yeah, I think if you're bringing in one player this week, I actually like to reiterate on Kevin's thing. I did read the same article that he did about Benteke. It'll probably be Sorloth as the tip with Zaha and whoever else on the opposite wing, Townsend, or whoever they want to do in there. Listen, if you brought in Benteke preemptively, you're stuck with him. Don't transfer him back up because of the news. Don't waste the transfer unless you're free hitting, and then just do it again. But the PVA is the number one guy for Crystal Palace. Kevin mentioned Huddersfield's, you know, non-propensity to score, 15 out of 30. That's good enough for 50%. You know, if he was a baseball player, he'd be in the Hall of Fame for batting 500. But this is a bad category, and you don't want that. Two goals in two games is exactly what you want. When you're looking for a defensive involvement or investment, you want a guy who can possibly score and give you a clean sheet. He basically checks both boxes here. Zaha's a good tout as well by Kevin. Remember, Milivojevic is still on PKs, and I can still pronounce his name, which is awesome. Anybody looking for like a cheeky OOP guy, but it's in the opposite fashion. Kevin's mentioned Jeffrey Schlupp, but Juan Bissaka has been starting the last three games. He has been listed as a midfielder. He does play basically defense there. He's going to be one of the guys who probably changes next year to a defender. If anybody cares to listen to this and rewind it till next year or fast forward, whatever you choose to do, he'd be a guy to look at. I like Palace in this game. I don't like Huddersfield to score too many, if at all. You're looking for offensive-minded players here. It's Van Aanholt, it's Zaha, it's Milivojevic. If you already brought him a techie, you're stuck with him. You know, just sink with the ship and call it the USS Benteke.
Yeah, I don't know why you would call it the USS Benteke, but you're certainly willing to. They named a boat Bodie McBoatface, so that's the kind of world we live in. On to Stoke, though. There aren't a lot of guys who look on Stoke. There are some people that have popped up on assists, but only with one lately. Both Allen and Peter show up. I think Ndai does as well. I liked Ndai. I liked that signing, but he's kind of sunk into the meh-ness of the rest of that squad there. Obviously, Shaqiri is at the top of this list, especially for this week. If you free hit, you have to have Shaqiri. If you didn't, obviously the future fixtures, if you're worried about that, I'm not sure he's as much of a absolute must-buy. But his stats obviously have been very, very good of late. Okay, so I mentioned my top fives. Currently sits there in goal shot accuracy and chances created. Mentioned last week, I love it when a guy shows up both in creative stats and in goal scoring stats. The two that do that this week, Stanislas and obviously Shaqiri, who we're talking about right now. So I like him a lot for that. For Stoke, okay, so you know how a lot of people complain about Tottenham being a one-man team, and we're about to find out if they are now that Harry Kane's hurt. Well, these are the statistics that Shaqiri leads Stoke in. Goals, assists, shots on target, crosses, accurate crosses, corners, and chances created.
So that's... He also leads them in hats and chest hair.
So that's, you know, just about everything. He's definitely the go-to this week. I think he is the best non-Liverpool option this week. If you were to go with other people, I'm really hesitant. I guess you could go Joe Allen. I guess you could go ECMC if you really felt the need, but I think there are better striker options out there.
Yeah, it's basically starts and ends with Jordan Shaqiri here. Listen, they're Stoke. They're called the Potters for a reason. If they wanted to be better at fantasy, they'd be called the Candlestick Makers. But they're not. So Jordan Shaqiri is probably the fourth best option fantasy-wise this week that you're looking at after your three Liverpool investments. Yeah, I mean, there's just a lot of blah there. Joe Allen is just blah. Badou Ndiaye is just... He's going to get you minimums every week. I don't think he has enough, you know, offensive involvement there. There's no forwards for Stoke, as I mentioned before, that you really, really want to invest in. They're not part of the five that I mentioned. Listen, Stoke are the top team giving up points to forwards and midfielders over the last 4 weeks, and it's not going to continue. I don't know if that was a quadruple negative, but whatever. So basically this is either leading you to believe that you're going to buy Jordan Shaqiri and then leave everybody else off the plate and then basically invest in Everton because you think Everton is going to take him to the table and then complete the FPL beating that Stoke is probably deserving here. But Stoke does play slightly better at home. I'm not saying it's fantastic. It's like 55-45 at home away. But yeah, I think if you're looking for investment, it's Shaqiri and no one else. And then you're basically going to click on the Everton team on your FPL tab and go, yeah, I want three of those guys instead.
Yeah, you mentioned Everton on the other side of this match. Interested to hear who your guys are going to be in this one. Chang Tosin has scored two goals again, I think, in the last two matches, which is something you obviously like.
One is a sub,
and it is worth noting that Everton have the fewest chances created out of all these eligible teams, which is something that you don't particularly like. Obviously, you can't go Sigurdsson because he's hurt. Bolasie is an interesting guy. I'm very interested. We talked a little bit in the pre-show that you might bring him up, so interested to hear your take on him. And now the big question of the week. As I mentioned, especially if you're on your free hit, you're just trying to spend money. The highest price defender you can do is Seamus Coleman. Leighton Baines likely back on penalties after Rooney messed up his penalty kick at the weekend. Which one would you rather have between Baines and Coleman?
I would take Baines over Coleman.
Okay.
Just because of that PK involvement.
Yeah. All right. So then that's my three, I guess. It's going to be Tosin, Bolasie, and Baines then. Although I don't mind Pickford. I actually think he might be the best defensive goalkeeper option this week if you already have too many Liverpool guys and can't get Karius in.
Yeah, Pickford is actually my number one guy to grab for Everton. I don't think Stoke are going to do much offensively. You're hoping for a Shaqiri involvement, but I don't know how much you get it. If you're investing and you have a lot of holes in defense, I think Everton plus a Liverpool guy are the way to go this week. I think if you put Pickford in goal, you have Robertson VVD, or you know, if you're a Joel Matip fan, I don't know. You go that way, and then you add basically another Everton defender: Baines, Coleman, Martina, Michael Keane, who's been playing a little bit better since basically falling off a cliff fantasy wise. Beginning of the first 20 games of the year, he's starting to show more involvement, showing a little more stoutness in the back. But yeah, Baines, it'd be Pickford, Baines, and then Bolasie would be my third guy if you're looking for there, because you know nobody wants to overinvest on defense, especially from a Toffee standpoint, because you'll get diabetes. Bolasie.
It took me a second. Why are you hating on my boy Tosin though?
Because you know why? I'm worried about rotation with Everton. Big Sam just does not like to pick one guy for one game. He's had four separate strikers start four separate games in a row. You know, Tosin came on, scored as a sub. Then he started the next game. Rooney started one game. You had Nias start a game. You had Calvert-Lewin come in and actually have played more minutes than a starter in one game, whether it be by attrition or yellow card or by injury. But still, they got four options there: Tosin, Rooney, Nias, Calvert-Lewin. And they all show involvement there. And Big Sam has basically said at one point during the year that said, oh, this guy is my guy. This guy is my guy. He'd be the worst mafia crime boss ever. They're saying, oh, this is my guy. They'd end up in the desert somewhere buried by now. But yeah, I can't involve myself with any Everton forward. I think that if you had to pick one of the top five forwards this week, they'd be like number six, because I'd probably rather choose the five other guys before I get involved in the Everton thing. I just think there's too much rotation there, too much hemming and hawing between Big Sam picking Tosin, Rooney, Nias, Calvert-Lewin, or who plays when and if he plays the whole game. So just not involved in it. All the prices are awesome, but we're not worried about prices this week because it doesn't matter. But I do want to talk about Yannick Bolasie. He has played in the last three games, two as a sub, one he got 77 minutes. He got an assist last week against Brighton. I think his easing back into the lineup is now done. I think that he's basically going to show some involvement and be, you know, a precipice of that offense. I think that having Bolasie in the lineup makes the forward more of a steady position. Once Bolasie clicks with a forward, whether it be Tosin, Rooney, DLC, or DCL, or whatever his other guy's name, Nias, that will be how Big Sam likes the lineup. But I like Bolasie's speed. I like his wide side play. I think Stoke are in trouble. I think Bolasie is the guy, if you're looking for an offensive guy for midfield on Everton, that you're looking at. I know the whole world went with Walcott like 6 or 8 weeks ago, and he's basically just flopped. He's had 2-1, 2-2, 3 in his last five games. It's just not anything good since he's last done something. Dom Davies has just fallen off a mat. Clawson is just garbage. Sigurdsson is now hurt. Everybody else is basically a defensive, you know, enigma there for Everton. So Bolasie is it. Offensively from an Everton standpoint. I'm steering clear of the forward, like I said. So if everyone is grabbing three Liverpool players, I think Everton is the second team that you're probably loading up on three players, and those players for me would be Pickford, Baines, and Bolasie.
All right. Now on to the big end. Liverpool versus Watford. Liverpool is super easy for me. Firmino, Salah, Robertson, Karius as the top four. And directly in that order. I don't think we need to elaborate much more on them. They are obviously the best of this bunch, and you probably already own some of them, unlike a lot of these other players we've been talking about. You agree with that order?
Yeah, I completely agree with it. But, you know, some people who are trying to sneak differentials in there, you know, if you could play the whole Joe Gomez, you know, Trent Alexander-Arnold, you know, flip-flop game, and you can monopolize on that, by all means do so. Even a cheeky play for James Milner could be a good third play. Like I said, this is only if you're trying to be different, not trying to be like coy and be like, oh, look, I'm going to do something cool. But, you know, if people are trying to chase points here, everybody owns Firmino. Everybody's going to own Salah. I think I read an interesting stat that out of the top 10,000 players in the FPL universe, 93.4%, when I read it, which was yesterday, own Mohamed Salah. Yep. So – with Mohamed Salah being probably the unanimous captain's choice this week, I would say, right?
That's not even negotiable for me.
Yeah, that means 190% of FPL managers will own Mohamed Salah, because with the times two.
Yeah, yeah. That's all right. now, now the
numbers.
big
numbers.
That's just math or science.
Yeah, that's just things.
There you go. Now on to what I think is the most interesting side here, because there's so much promise here, but they've obviously not lived up to it ever since that first 10 or so weeks. First of all, like the Benteke thing, I just want to bring up a Richarlison stat. I mentioned this on Twitter the other day. Richarlison hasn't scored since November. Please stop trying to make him a thing. There was a blip when Dulofeu was there where it looked like people weren't going to be able to shade his side, where it looked like maybe this would work, just like in the NFL. You get a good second receiver and all of a sudden your number one is more dangerous because now they can't just always double him. That almost happened, but it didn't, because then Dulofeu immediately got injured. So people trying to bring up Richarlison, stop it. for me, my main one is going to be Troy Deeney. I know he missed his penalty, but if he had scored it, it would have been 4 goals in the last 5. It's 3 in the last 5 as is, which means only Salah out of these eligible players has more goals over that period. He's level with Jerdan Shaqiri. I know he does not look amazing and prolific, but he has shown he's capable of bullying defenders. And after seeing what happened to Lovren, and to a lesser extent, Trent Alexander-Arnold. Well, Trent Alexander-Arnold was largely responsible for those 2 goals, but he didn't get out-muscled. He just didn't track Rashford well enough. I think it was really Lovren that got kind of the brunt of those issues physically. And obviously, Deeney can do that after his comments against Arsenal the first time. Obviously, they're glad that he did not score against them. But I think Deeney is a very interesting option. In midfield, it's hard to go anybody but Doucouré. I think he might be a little too obvious, though, and you know I love me some Roberto Pereira. So I think I would go that direction, although it is worth noting Doucouré has the second most chances created out of these eligible players over the last 5 weeks, which is pretty impressive for a quote-unquote defensive midfielder. But now that they're playing him with Kapu, it's allowing Kapu to stay back. Doucouré is getting forward a bit more, and he has scored the odd goal this season, so nothing against him. So those are going to be my three, Deeney, Pereira, and Doucouré.
Yeah, the interesting thing about Watford in their last 12 games, they've either clean sheeted or given up 2 goals.
Yeah.
There's nothing in between in the last 12 games. So basically, they're basically like a tale of two outcome team. Either they're going to hit a home run or they're going to strike out.
Mm-hmm. Pedro Alvarez.
100%. We'll just bring up Pedro Alvarez onto every FPL roundtable. Yes. I just don't see the investment value in Watford there. Liverpool, they're playing Liverpool. Listen, what are the odds Liverpool's not going to score in this game?
Very, very, very low. Very slim.
So defensively, that takes out everyone.
Yeah, that is worth bringing up, though, because Holobas is actually one of the best creating defenders in the game. Is there any way he gets enough attacking points to make up for the fact that they're probably going to concede 2+?
But how busy is Holobas going to be on the wing if Mane plays? He's going to be tracking him back the entire time. So that basically negates Holobas' entire game. Same thing on the other wing with Janmaat. If Janmaat gets a start there, he's basically...
Or Femenya. Although Janmaat did play on the wing the last match, which is interesting. He didn't crack my top three, but Janmaat on the wing is interesting and would help them double up on Salah or Mane.
Yeah, I think, you know, Watford has an interesting thing on FPL. I think they have they're tied for the most amount of defenders completely listed on their team. They have 14 defenders listed on their team. Maybe they should just, like, put all 14 defenders on the pitch against Liverpool.
Difficult to do rules-wise, but I'd be interested to see it.
Just start Mariap, Holobas, Janmaat, Kiko Firmino, Prodl, Ziglar, Mukina, Britos, Kabasele, Wagu, Cathcart, and Jonas Koble. All on the same pitch with 2 goalies, Karnizis and Gomis.
What's impressive is about 3 of those players are decent to good.
Yeah, it's crazy. We were singing Watford's praises at the beginning of the year when Marco Silva was there, and then something happened. They remember the Yodler game in Price is Right? That was completely what happened with Watford. And it just fell off the thing because you overbid.
Yeah, that was interesting. And it did happen under Silva. Like, people that think Silva was doing an amazing job, he started doing an amazing job, and then pretty much ever after the Everton links, Super didn't work out. And in the end, it looks like both of them should have made that move. All 3 parties, really. All right, so that's us running through. I figure we'll just, I know this is a little different show-wise, but I figure I'll just share my team, and then Rob, you can do the same, and then we'll get on out of here, because we're both captaining Salah. If you aren't captaining Salah this week, you either don't have Salah, which is stupid, or You're captaining someone else, which is equally stupid. So my team, as it currently looks, is Pickford at the back, Robertson, Coleman, and Nathan Ake. I know I said Daniels, I think, earlier. I still might do that, but I was kind of at this, like, trying to fill my price. But I do think Daniels is more likely to be involved in a goal than Ake, although Ake is more likely to score a goal than Daniels. I think Daniels' assist potential is higher. Then across midfield, Shaqiri, Captain Salah, Zaha, and Aaron Moy / Milivojevic. Haven't really decided who's going to take that slot. And then up front right now is King, Firmino, and Deeney. I just have this weird feeling on King. I might change that back. I might change it to Tosin. If we get positive news on Benteke, that could switch back to him. But currently, that's my lineup. My bench, Begovic, Milivojevic, Hadegorjoj, and Schlupp. again, Schlupp could move up or down depending on whether or not Zaha is going to be playing as a forward or a left winger. And if we know that in time, which we may well not, because all these matches are starting early, because that's something we haven't talked about. All four matches are starting. They're all at the 10 o'clock time here in the U.S., 3 o'clock time in England. Oh, I guess that's 11 in the U.S. because we're only on a four-hour time difference right now.
Wait, did they switch to Liverpool time?
No, the Liverpool is the late match.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, but the three, Bournemouth, West Brom, Huddersfield, Palace, Stoke, Everton, are all at the same time.
England changes on Saturday, the day before. It changes right before then.
Oh, really? I thought it changed Sunday.
All right, then I'm mixed up. It's only the 13th. Never mind.
Yeah, pretty sure it's Sunday. But anyway, so that's currently how my team is lining up. I mentioned Captain Salah, vice-captain on Firmino. How's your team looking this week?
It's pretty good that we have the he said, she said kind of thing, and you're definitely the she here because you used your free chip and I didn't. I'm not using my free chip. I'm saving that for the second blank game week probably. I'm probably going to go without a goalie this week, and then I'm bringing in Baines and Zaha. So basically my playable team is going to be Baines, Robertson on defense. I'll have Ibe, Van La Parra, Zaha, and Salah through the midfield, and then Benteke and Firmino up top. So I got to my magic number of 8. Or is that 7? No, it's 8. It's 8.
Yeah, I think it's 8.
8. Yeah, it's 8. So that is my playable team. I'm going with 8 because I think that there's, you know, me and Kevin differ on the free hitting now or free hitting on the second blank week, and I'm choosing to do it on the second game week. There's no wrong answer. It's your team. You control the whole ship. You know, just don't be the guy like the captain of the Titanic and just be stupid and drive into an iceberg. I'm happy. Everybody's captaining Salah this week, so join the other 190% lemmings that are existing in the fantasy universe. I'm not really excited about this week because the last 2 weeks in fantasy have been kind of blah. Just the scoring from other people and the involvement in other people's just blah. People saying they're having success in the FPL lately are complete liars, and I want to slap them in the face.
All right, yeah, go slap them. Do you, at least if it's over social media. But that is it for us this week. Like we said, it was a little less prepared. Let us know if you like this kind of format of just running through everybody. Obviously much harder to do on a full match week. But very much enjoyed doing it this way with you. Rob, tell the folks where they can get at you.
You can find me on Twitter, FPL_MNOP. Come at me. Big shout out to rest in peace, Craig Mack, by the way. I forgot to say that. And you can find my writing, stylings, and musings on razzball.com.
Yeah, and I'm your other host, Kevin DeVries. You can find me on Twitter at Kevroth. I'm now doing live text commentaries over at Omnisport. I'm still doing some fantasy content over at Goal, but that might be shifting over to more of the betting side soon. But just check me out over on Kevroth. You'll get more information on that over there. Also, be sure to keep listening to our EPL Roundtable show. And on the Benteke thing, follow at the Eagles Beak. They're really good for Crystal Palace news. So you can get maybe a little bit of a heads up on the whole Benteke, Zaha, Schlupp, crazy conundrum there. Rob, awesome speaking with you. As always, folks at home, we hope you like this. Hope you get a lot of points this week, unless you're in our mini leagues. And we'll catch you next time.
Do you ever feel like your brain is on overdrive and your mind is constantly racing? The plans, worries, and to-do lists are never ending. Calm can help your mind take a break from the noise by softening anxiety symptoms in the moment and helping you cope with day-to-day stressors. Calm is the number one app for sleep and meditation, giving you the power to calm your mind and change your life. For listeners of the show, Calm is offering an exclusive offer of 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/stressless. Go to calm.com/stressless for 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library. That's calm.com/stressless.